Hello, welcome to Shaman Sister Sessions, episode 115, Quantifying Transformation for Ourselves and Our Clients. And I'm Catherine Bird. I'm here with Michelle Hawk, and we are excited to talk about transformation. It's such an important part of our lives and our work. And sometimes everybody talks about transformation, but I think sometimes we're not quite sure what transformation is all about. And especially when we start to look for quantifying, like results, how do we quantify what's transformation? Yeah, it's kind of curious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually did a series of interviews a couple of months ago where I was reaching out to past clients and students and other people that I know and work whose work I trust, so also colleagues, where I had a whole bunch of questions that I was asking people about transformation. And the purpose of the interviews was sort of about, how I was creating some work and I wanted to kind of feedback a couple things with people. But one of the questions that I didn't really think was going to be that big of a deal when I put it on the form or on the questionnaire that I was asking people, but turned out to be really interesting. The results was, how do we quantify transformation? Or how do you quantify transformation in your clients? And it was really surprising to me that most of the people were a little bit flabbergasted by that or hadn't ever thought about it and everyone kind of came up with something, but I thought it was so interesting that here we are in the business of transformation, in the practice of transformation, and in the devotion to transformation. And yet if we're not looking at it as something that we can measure and quantify or express or look at, well, how is that actually taking place? Then it's just a buzzword. And what are we actually doing? And I think honestly, that's the case for a lot of people, but it's beside the point.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that we're not thinking of that.
Yeah. It is a buzzword.
Did you have an answer to the question?
Did I have an answer to my own question about how to quantify transformation?
Uh-huh.
My answer is really long because it depends on what that transformation is. But the short version is a measurable, observable effect that is, or a different identity that someone is stepping into on every single level of their life, physically, in their 3D life, and in their relationships, and their finances, and their health, mentally and emotionally, in terms of how they view the world and how they talk about themselves, how they think, how they feel, their relationship to their emotions, and energetically, spiritually, in terms of how they experience their energy, how they track and regulate energy in their body and in their field, and their ability to transpose energy out in the world and psychically.
Yeah.
So that's
my
answer.
That makes sense. Yeah. That's a great answer.
Thank you. And then the actual answer was longer because of what that actually looks like for people. But that would be how I quantify transformation in myself and in my clients.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Well, I think it isn't. I mean, it's what you said, because that was so good. I think it is in some ways, living a life that is more in alignment with the truth of how someone is, less triggered, less reactive, more in conscious collaboration with life, less in the lower frequencies that are, holding people back, and blockages and fear and shame and all of the things.
So let's not take for granted here that transformation is a positive thing, right? Because I think this is also really interesting, and I love everything you're saying, and yet we can experience, and I think this is where it gets really interesting of, well, how do we intentionally design an experience, whether that's a program or working, of course, all of us are in this for positive transformation, right? But how do we create intentional transformation that we can measure, where we're doing things like what you're saying of living more in alignment and having less reactive experience, versus how does transformation just sort of occur in our lives through almost like this snowball effect of, self-perpetuating feeding energies And we're kind of getting into a different aspect of that here, but like knowing that here we are as agents of transformation, how do we curate the experience so that people have this ripple effect that we're talking about, right? You know what I mean? I think it's
right.
Like,
it's we're going to transform no matter what, but we're in the business of conscious transformation and choosing the way that we are focused toward how that's going to play out.
Yeah. We're going to transform no matter what. And it's sort of up to us to design the most, I want to say successful, but that's not even the right word. Like the most effective, amplified, healthiest, conscious version of what that can look like.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's the big question. And I think that sometimes we're looking at symptoms instead of transformation in a lot of work that we do as practitioners, is that people arrive with symptoms, maybe physical symptoms, pain, illness, dysfunction in a relationship, or unhappiness at a job or whatever. And there is the tendency to attempt in life to problem solve discomfort in this, you know, our very Western approach of like, I have a symptom, and so let me kill the pain of the symptom through doing the minimum amount of that I can do. Can I just take a pill or have a surgery, or, you know, whatever is going to do it the fastest, the quickest, and then I have to work the least. And that is kind of the Band-Aid version of healing. And a lot of our clients, I mean, I know I've worked with a lot of people who've been through the Band-Aid version of healing for an extended period of time until the entire system completely breaks down. And then transformation is required. The transformation shows up as the what is needed in order to re-regulate and stabilize and heal the entirety in a holistic manner of this whole system, because there was these signals from the body and signals from the discomfort, the symptoms that were ignored or pushed away or somehow, you know, whatever we do to distract ourselves from the symptoms in order to stop the symptoms long enough to keep doing what we've always been doing.
Yeah. Which interestingly, like in that case, things get worse, right? And mm-hmm. So I think, let's look at like what happens if somebody is experiencing these symptoms. Like imagine, for example, like, you know, you've had clients like this, I've had people like this, where people are in this reality where they're ignoring their symptoms, they're looking for the Band-Aid, whatever. And people think like, oh, I'm just staying the same. But you're not ever just staying the same. Like there is something about that. Like you said, Kat, we're always transforming. So there is something about that experience that is getting worse, whether it's like, well, my physical symptoms are staying about the same, but my mentally and emotionally, like I feel really, upset and frustrated that I'm not getting any better, and I'm taking it out on my partner, and I'm not sleeping well because I'm having anxiety about blah, 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 blah. And then there's this decline experience, right? And technically that is a transformation, because it, according to this working definition that we have of an observable change, an observable, measurable change on these different levels of experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to realize, like, you are always going to be in some way of transformation no matter what, but you're not ever going to be in a place of total stagnation and everything the same. And so either you are proactively creating circumstances to move in a positive, healthy direction. And also energy is always like going like this anyway. So there's always going to be ups and downs no matter what, but how you are designing your life experience, how are you designing experiences and practices for your clients will help either like it will keep them from declining and moving into positive transformation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And some people don't want transformation. They are not interested. So then it's that decision of if you want to work with that person. And also sometimes we don't want transformation. We push it away. We don't want transformation because we're aware that what transformation is going to require is change. And maybe some kind of significant change or some kind of sacrifice that where we feel like it's a sacrifice or discomfort or something that we're afraid of. And those things can feel so strong that we choose not to transform. And we have the choice. We can choose not to actually go through this process, sort of. It seems like almost like inevitable in the end anyway. But you know, we can choose to push it away.
And then what happens though?
Well, I mean, it depends, right? It depends on the person. I mean, we can, you know, our bodies are remarkable things. They will keep us going even if we're, you know, until we die, right? Like we can be quite ill. We can be in a lot of pain. We can be very, very unhappy.
Right.
And still keep getting up every morning and walking around the planet and doing things.
Right. But in that case, you know, the transformation that has taken place in an unhealthy direction is on mental health and on, you know, fulfillment and spiritual actualization. So like, you know, maybe you're walking around, but you feel really alone and you're deeply unhappy and you're, you know, questioning your reason for being here. Right. So, you know, I think it's really, I almost like, I'm asking myself, why am I hammering this point home so hard? But it's like, I feel like there's almost this, I don't want people to take for granted that things are ever just going to stay the same, because things don't ever just stay the same. Like we live in a world that is constantly moving through cycles of energy that we've talked about at great length here on this podcast, right? We have this kind of constant flux of expansion and contraction, of raising and lowering of vibration. And that's just part of how it is to live on this planet. And transformation, you know, when we are, it's really easy also to look at like moving in a positive direction, but even what we're talking about here is not like how you are transforming isn't necessarily ever going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. It's not necessarily like there are pieces that might seem like they're making your life worse for a minute, right? If you are, like Kat was mentioning, having to let go of a relationship or you know, grieve an old identity, like we talked about in our last podcast episode, right? Those are very uncomfortable things, and yet they are conscious, and ultimately they do create a more holistic, empowered, collaborative relationship with how that manifestation of spirit is wanting to move through you, and how your energy is participating and co-creating in this natural fluctuation of transformation, and how it moves ripple effects through all layers of your existence and your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do we quantify that?
How do we quantify that?
And how do we?
It is challenging to quantify, especially in clients who are struggling, because we can see that if someone, we can look at someone's life and see, wow, they're really having a hard time and they're going through a lot and they're really struggling. And we can use that as a reflection that somehow they're not getting the results that we came into the healing relationship looking for. And this might happen to you as a client with someone where you start working with them and you're like, holy shit, I actually feel worse right now. And that might be because you're digging into your past, into your trauma, into your belief systems, into things that aren't working in your life. And you're realizing some pretty serious stuff about yourself, which can not feel good. And we can utilize that not feeling good as a signal that we are failing at transformation, and blame our practitioner and blame ourselves and use it as a very sneaky way to choose not to do the work. Mm. And this happens a lot with people because even doing really deep energy work sometimes with people, or, you know, working on stuff shamanically, a lot of times after a session like that, someone will feel worse for a minute, you know, as they're processing and integrating. And then they'll be like, wow, I feel way better than I did before. I felt kind of crappy there for a minute.
Right. And I think what you're talking about is really important to understand. And we did an episode on alchemy where you talked about the stages of alchemy and the different phases. So you can go back and listen to that. The anatomy of a transformation, which we're going to get into on our next episode. We have a special guest coming in. You're getting a little sneak preview now, special guest to come in and talk with us about the anatomy of a transformation. But it's also really helpful to understand the operations that happen in transformation. And that really is the stages of alchemy. And Kat, what you're talking about is that the death phase, which is the first phase of alchemy, where as we are cycling energy through before any rebirth can happen. And here, this is where I take issue with people who are, you know, transformational coaches, and they only talk about the rebirth part. They are selling their clients short, and there's no way around that. And I think it's really doing a disservice to the depth of loss that one must inherently go through in order to complete an actual transformation cycle. Before we can be reborn, we must die. We must release those traumas. We must do the shadow work. We must release old identity structures. We must grieve and forgive and let things go out of our physical lives and material lives, and let things go from our energy bodies in order to be able to sort them out and reorganize, come to new belief systems and structures, set new declarations. Like we talked about in our last episode about declaring declarations and commitments of new identities, right? And then have that be reanimated and really living as this new version of yourself. Before you can do any of that, your life has to fall apart a little bit, at least a little bit in some areas, because that's the death part.
Yeah, we don't like to hear that. We don't want that.
No. Rebirth is way sexier. People are like, oh, come for rebirth. Just live your best life.
Right. #best. Right. And, you know, a lot can be done with positive intentions and affirmations and visioning and these things. Like that can create a lot of positive impact and change. And we're also looking at fundamental transformation, like a change of who you are, like on every level of your being. And that requires something. It requires some work, because up into this point, we've been living our lives based on stuff that we've taken in from our environment, from our parents, from our school, from our past relationships, our belief structures that we've been holding on to. Mm-hmm. And part of transformation is really letting go of a lot of stuff. And sometimes we don't want to let go of things. It's not comfortable even to let go of things that actually don't serve you and are unhealthy and toxic sometimes. Sometimes we have somebody super toxic in our life and we just can't get rid of them. Like, we want to hold on to them because we love them. Mm-hmm. And it's the same as parts of ourself that we're working with. And sometimes I think it's also important to look at how we also engage with transformation from the perspective of that we are transforming and changing. We're not just at war with the parts of ourselves that we don't like. Yeah. We're not just trying to strangulate the things that we hate. We're actually working with the things that we don't like. We're learning from them. We're growing with them in a certain way. And a lot of times when I'm working with my clients, it's really looking at this part that's struggling and in pain and sabotage and fear and doubt and shame and all of this stuff, and actually welcoming it to the table to be seen, to be witnessed, to be loved, to be integrated fully, to be given a voice, to be worked with in a way that allows that part to transform. So when we look at it, it's like, yes, you are transforming, but you're transforming all of these separate little parts of you that are in collaboration inside of your entire ecosystem of your psyche, mm-hmm. which is an interesting thing to play with as far as the entirety of like the global transformation of looking at the earth is transforming, but every single ecosystem on earth is transforming. The desert is eventually turning into the sea or the rainforest, and the rainforest is eventually turning into the desert. And that is happening inside of us as we live this life, if we're paying attention. And we can do it consciously, or we can just let things kind of run their course over a period of time.
That was a mic drop moment right there. That was good. Thank you. Whew. I love that you're talking about like the inner ecosystem, right? And that not taking for granted that when we are transforming holistically, like there are all these little parts that will need different things. And I think that's an important part to be able to look at. How are we quantifying transformation? Well, you know, if you're spending a lot of energy and a lot of time sort of like catching up a part of yourself that really needs some deep healing work, it's not necessarily going to have the same type of measurable effect as a different concerted effort of transformational energy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, for example, you know what? Okay, so let me give an example. Transformation. So someone who advertises themselves as a transformational coach or transformational leader can do a bajillion different things. Honestly, like let's pick, for example, someone who works in the business of physical transformation. So a personal trainer or a strength coach or something like that, versus someone who works in the business of transformation, transforming your relationship to your inner child, right? So they're both transformational practitioners and they're working with transformation, but they're working on different parts of that ecosystem. And yet ideally, according to our definition of holistic transformation, in both cases, there will be a measurable, observable ripple effect that will cascade through all the layers if they are doing their job and if they are truly a transformational practitioner. So in the case of someone doing, you know, this physical type of transformation, in that case, they're probably working on you know, certain types of exercise and also their relationship with their body and also their nutrition. And then also as an adjunct, that'll bring up, you know, whatever conditioning they had as a child or whatever relationship they had with their parents, where maybe, you know, they had two working parents who were gone all the time. So they had to eat fast food growing up. So they have this warped relationship with nutrition or, you know, had struggled from eating disorder and also have that impacting their romantic relationships and how they're showing up in partnership and their sense of value for how they're, you know, showing up in their work and they're getting paid and blah, blah, blah. Right. So there's this holistic identity structure in that case that ideally is being addressed through the window, through going in through the door of strength training, for example. And if transformation has truly done its job, we will see not only the physical manifestations of, oh, that person, you know, looks more fit and healthy in their body, and they have this relationship with their nutrition, but also they have different relationship with their partner and with their parents, and they feel differently about themselves, and they have a different energy body for those of us who can work with the energy body, right? But we're going to see it in this one way. And we have the, you know, again, our other example is like the inner child person. They're going in through the door of working with inner child transformation, where maybe, you know, they had an abusive childhood and they, you know, have this really estranged relationship with both parents and have trouble forming intimate connections and also have substance abuse issues because of, you know, internalized self-punishment, et cetera, you know, this whole slew of stuff. And they're going in through the door of inner child work transformation. Ideally, we will see that ripple effect transformation throughout the entire ecosystem through going in the door of this one part. In the best case scenario, where transformation actually occurs. But right. Again, we quantify it differently, right? So like a strength coach might quantify transformation as, you know, you used to not be able to do a deadlift at all, and now you can deadlift 150 pounds. that is transformation, maybe, right? Or that is one facet of transformation. And then an inner child person healer would say like, oh, your transformation is you used to not ever talk to your father, but you had a really healing conversation. And now you're on a once a month phone call relationship with your father. Is that transformation? Maybe.
That's why it's so hard for us to quantify and to look at. And yet having the awareness of being able to go, I think give ourselves credit, I think is really important. Because one thing that I learned that was so fascinating in working with people who had pain is that as soon as they stopped having the pain that they were having in a particular part of their body, it was like they completely forgot that it had ever existed. And so there they were transforming, and there were actually was the necessity to ask about the old pain a little bit to, you know, you'd be like, they come in and you'd be like, oh, this thing with my shoulder or whatever. And then you'd be like, well, what about your knee pain? And like, oh, right. Yeah. The knee pain that I've been talking about for this amount of time and all of these things, like, not at all. No knee pain. That's so great. You know, and I've completely forgotten that knee pain ever was a part of my life. And so even though that's a physical way of relating, we also forget how far we've come in our lives. We forget that we used to be much more reactive, or that we used to have these bad habits, or that we used to engage in a certain kind of behavior, or we used to, you know, have a certain kind of communication skill. And we just kind of take for granted the case that we are now is what we are, when we've actually been through a massive transformation. And so oftentimes we forget to congratulate ourselves and to celebrate and to acknowledge the work that we've done and the changes that we've made. And because our tendency is generally to only see the negative, our brain's supposed to see the negative. It's supposed to see the pain. It's supposed to see the fear. It's supposed to see the things that are bad. Mm-hmm. So our brain is constantly on the prowl and searching for what isn't right. So if there's nothing in our environment that isn't right, it's focused towards us generally. Like there's no lion to eat us. There's no river that we have to cross. There's no, you know, environmental challenge. So it starts looking internally at like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why am I not okay? What's wrong with me? And it's like, if the brain will look long enough, it will find something wrong with you. And so some of the part of transformation is actually transforming our own relationship to ourself and seeing the things that are positive and the positive manifestations of our transformation and the positive impact of the work that we're doing, and acknowledging it and cheering it on and telling ourselves that we're doing a great job. And even if we're struggling, we're making big changes and we're going to be okay. And instead of our tendency is really to beat ourselves up for what we haven't accomplished yet, mm-hmm. where we haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah.
That's, so while we're trying to quantify, we're often, we're often like looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah. No, that's super important. And I think it's like, you know, you're talking about like survival brain versus thrival brain, right? Of like, if our brains are, and that is why our brains are wired to look for things that are wrong, because it keeps us alive, you know? So that's a good thing. And yet, you know, there's a difference between like, am I, you know, just maintaining my existence and nitpicking myself and keeping myself alive through survival brain, or are we wired to proactively seek out experiences that will help us grow and expand, which is an inherently very uncomfortable process. Right? Transformation is hard, yo. It's like, we are not naturally wired to be constantly in this changing state. Evolutionarily, change and doing things differently got us killed more often than not. So it was actually, you know, we have and I think this is important to look at, like our brains are engineered to keep us the same. because the same has kept us alive so far, and it is predictable, and it is likely to keep us alive longer. So we have to kind of work against our own biology a little bit and our own evolutionary engineering to seek out experiences and teachers and practices and work that is going to feel like it is challenging our ability to survive.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to mention that sometimes the pathway of transformation that we think we should be taking isn't actually the right pathway for us at that time.
Say more about that. Sounds good.
Well, there's so many things that we can do. We have so many options. We're just like, we're at the grocery store almost of transformation. And there's every fruit and vegetable from all over the world that is not in season and is available to us at every moment. And we don't necessarily need to be eating every single food from all over the world and every, you know, it's, there are certain things that our body is going to thrive with at this moment, at this time, and certain things that are going to upset our stomach and actually make life more challenging. And sometimes we think that we need to do a certain kind of work in order to get where we're going. And it's not always the case. And I think, especially when we look at things like medicine work, you know, doing, ayahuasca and these different medicine work, or I need to travel to another country and sit in a hut and take massive amounts of medicine for months in order to heal. It's not always the case. It's not always the thing that's necessary. It's not always the case that transformation has to beat the shit out of us in order for us to get it. Sometimes something that's very nurturing and kind can help you unfold in your transformation. And we don't often look to something that's nurturing and kind. We look to the thing that's going to beat us up.
Yeah. Why do we do that, do you think? Because I've definitely done that. And I have clients who do that too.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, well, I could get this transformation through gentle breathing and mindfulness and meditation. And we're like, no.
No, this part of me seems so big and insurmountable that it's got to be something really hard and kind of torturous and masochistic in order to make any change.
Right.
Like breathing actually effective as a transformational tool? Like that's it? That's simple?
Yeah. It can be. Yeah. And for different people at different times, depending on what you're dealing with and what you're going through, which is why it's so important to have a good guide for this stuff. Yeah. And to even have a guide who's willing to say, this is what I offer and it's actually not what you need. I think you should go and do this other thing, or, you know, like that's amazing if you can find somebody who's willing to do that for you.
Yeah, I love that. And so I think it, you know, let's talk about how can people discern what they need for transformation? And then also from the provider perspective of, you know, as we are looking at how do we quantify transformation in ourselves and in our clients, how do we set ourselves and our clients up for best success with that, right? I think one of the pieces that you just mentioned is looking at, well, according to our best estimation, is the type of transformation that we offer the type of transformation or the doorway, right? If we're looking at like people are going into transformation no matter what, but depending on what door they're going into, they're going to have a different experience with it. Is the door that you are holding the appropriate portal for someone to enter that experience?
Yeah, and sometimes that's really hard to know because we believe in what we do. We believe in our modalities. We believe in our process and our path. And it takes, sometimes we're not aware of the full experience or you know, life experience that someone's been through that's gotten them to our door first off. So I think that being conscious of assessment protocol of questions that we're asking, of really seeing where someone's at and what they're moving through and what their goals are, what they're going toward, is really important. And sometimes, especially when we look at, and I think energy work practitioners are not as proficient at this. I don't find that it's taught as much in energy work fields, or it's just kind of like a, if you want energy work, you can come for energy work and it doesn't really matter what you're going through.
As opposed to what type of, like what other type of practitioner?
As opposed to someone who's trained in more of a therapeutic, right? Who is like, well, we're working on a trauma therapy, right? We're working on a physical therapy, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions usually.
Right. Or even, I would say even in the case of like shamanic practice, like there is a clearer discernment about like, okay, well, what is the energy to be moved, right? Because we're addressing it specifically. What is the underworld initiation that you are currently in the portal of, and how do we support you in that underworld initiation? Versus you go for a Reiki session, it's like, oh, it kind of doesn't matter. Like, you know, going to do sort of a similar thing no matter what.
Right. And here's some positive energy, and that's going to have a positive effect. And
yeah,
that's that.
And it's great. And it, you know, it can't hurt. It probably will help. And is that transformation?
That's some of the questions that we get to sit with. And when we're looking at transformation, because we can do whatever we want, right? If we're really called to just offer one thing, then that's amazing. I was having this conversation with my channeling apprenticeship group, which is, you know, these people have been working with me on channeling specifically for 2 years, more than 2 years. And having that conversation around, okay, well, when you're in this process with a client, yes, you can just give a reading. You know, that is an option. You can just read what you are experiencing and getting and give them this information. And then what they do with it is what they do with it, and you send them on their way. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the possibility of being in more curiosity with this person. And what are they experiencing? And what are they what are they noticing and bringing in? And what are they working on? And how is this in relationship to some of the pieces in their life that they might be having new awareness around? And that's where I get excited, is in really that curiosity of how is spiritual or energetic information and interaction focused toward overall transformation.
Yeah. I love that. And it's a different type of service, right? And I would say most of my work looks like that too. It is a collaborative, it's a, you know, a conversation where I'm not just doing work on people. I do have one or two clients who, you know, who show up to sessions saying like, I just want a reading or whatever. And, you know, and it's a different type of service. It's not the majority of what I do. And I sort of put up with it because they've been working with me for years and years and years, but I don't encourage that in my people. I think, you know, let's talk about like how did you experience transformation at different points in your practice, and how do you experience that now, right? Because I think that's interesting to look at. And in our last episode, both Kat and I kind of walked through like, well, these different ways in which we've been of service and, you know, our shape-shifting practice over the years. And I would say I wasn't intentionally designing transformational experiences and working with that intention, like specifically for people, until I started, you know, doing probably the deeper shamanic work with people. And before that, you know, I was doing good work, right? I was doing the animal healing work, which was transformational. Of, you know, animals had really incredible experiences and really changing the way in which their people related to their animals. I have, you know, so many stories of being able to help and support a transformational experience through the work that I was doing, but I wasn't intentionally crafting it that way. Same with the energy healing and doing a lot of the Reiki stuff and, you know, having people have really powerful experience, but it wasn't about me crafting that with that in mind. But then when I was introducing the shamanic practice is like, all right, well here, you know, yes, I'm showing up and I'm doing this work, but also we're creating this, you know, this transformational experience together, co-creating this with this result in mind to have this effect ripple through all the fields. And that was part of the awareness of going in. Alchemy, definitely. Dragon stuff, definitely. But it took me a few years to really recognize that that's what I'm doing and to make it an explicit part of how I was supporting people.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I think that as an earlier practitioner, I was still trying to discover and prove my value, and that I was trying really hard a lot of times to give someone the result that they were looking for, instead of actually understanding that sometimes we're unaware of the result that we really want because we haven't given ourselves the opportunity to even dream that big or to understand what that could feel like or look like in our life. We don't even know. Sometimes we don't even, a lot of times when transformation occurs, the person is like, I had no idea that I was relating to the world in that way. Like, I thought I was doing pretty good. I thought that I kind of had my shit together and life figured out in some way and everything was okay. And then at the end of a period of time, there's the awareness of like, wow, I had no idea. Because we don't know what we don't know. So I think that over time of having more trust in the process and being willing to also for myself in some ways, let go of responsibility in some ways and attachment to the way that someone is going to transform and the amount of time they're going to transform in and what they're going to get. Mm-hmm. And the awareness that there are people that I will work with who will have that deep awareness that they need to change something significant in their life and they will choose not to because they just can't in their awareness. They can't. And a lot of times this is, you know, especially with people who are married, they have, especially if they have children and they've built this life that is functional and they know that it's not what they're supposed to be doing. It's too much to break that at that point. And maybe they're going to, you know, maybe they're going to need to wait 10 years until their kids are grown or whatever in order to change this relationship. And to have allowance that that's totally fine and it's okay. And it's part of their life journey to have that experience and make that as their conscious choice. And they're going to transform in other ways. That's okay too.
Yeah. I love that. It's this piece around, I don't know, radical non-attachment and non-judgment of what that transformation actually looks like. Mm-hmm. And being the, you know, being the hollow bone, being the conduit for however that whatever, you know, because ultimately it's not about us, right? As much as I talk about curating a transformational experience for people, like there's only so much we can do, honestly. And there are, granted, there are things that we can do to support creating a transformational experience for somebody, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's not actually up to us. It's about the agreements that they have with spirit and the choices and the conscious declarations that our clients are making for themselves. And we can support them in that all day long. We can, you know, design transformational experiences till the cows come home, but until somebody actually commits and creates, you know, creates that portal for themselves, then, you know, what we're doing isn't really, what we do isn't actually transformation. We show people the door. We can help, you know, give them all the tools that they need to walk through the door and give them tools that they need to support themselves afterwards. But walking through the door is their choice.
Mm-hmm. And also integration. Like, you know, if I work with someone for 6 months, they will, they'll definitely have I mean, they're going to have a transformation. I don't want to say they're not. They totally are going to have something, right? But they might not fully get to the place that I, you know, I can see their highest self or whatever, right? So that 6 months, it might be a year later that they then have stepped into this, you know, full identity shift. And we talked about this on the last session of how long it takes to actually go through an initiatory process, uncover and integrate a new identity, and actually start to build life based on that new identity, and to take action and make choices and build structures around this new identity. That can take years. And so somebody might only work with me for 6 months, or they might only do a course with me, and then it might be a year or 2 or 3 years later that they actually fully step into the thing that was awakened in our work together. And to, you know, I have to be okay. Like, there's all the time in the world. I always say, like, everything is in perfect timing. Like, you're not late. You're not late for transformation. If it happens tomorrow or it happens next year, it's not late. It just is, as it should be, so that you can go through what you're going through in exactly the perfect timing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do everything I can to help support that and help it emerge. And it also has its own life force and its own timeline, its own trajectory of transformation that's going through your life.
Beautiful. I love it. Okay. We've offered people a lot of things to think about, but are there any specific tools, awarenesses that we would like to impart people with before we close? Think of yourself as an ecosystem for transformation.
Yeah. Right. It's not all about, in that, if you think about the ecosystem, if you want to have a healthy relationship to the environment, to the ecosystem, if you see a weed growing, there might be the idea, I should go and get a weed killer and put this on this weed. But the more holistic version of that is, oh, there's a weed growing. Could that weed actually be medicine for me? Could that weed actually just go away naturally on its own if I start planting indigenous plants here, and you know, or I have a cute goat or something that's going to be beneficial to the entirety of the ecosystem that's surrounding you? And, you know, what if I added more compost? If I, you know, adding more compost might look like getting rid of some of the energy that's stuck in your body and transforming that and purging it out of your system in some kind of way through energy practices and so on. And making changes in your life could be a form of adding compost to the soil, which might change the soil pH, and that weed might not have any interest of being there anymore.
Mm. Awesome. So that's sort of the, like, look at the different types of transformation available and be discerning about the door that you're walking through.
Yeah. And not just to see everything that's maybe a challenge, or you might associate it with being negative, as something that you need to immediately eradicate and kill, but to be curious about it and to wonder why it's there and what it's there to teach you, and to be interested in it. Look it up in the little book and look at it like, oh, isn't that interesting? And the way that it grows, and why is this weed? Because it's like, if a weed is growing in your environment, it's usually there because it's doing something we don't give it credit for. It's doing something. It's helping to break up the soil. It's helping to bring nitrogen. It's helping to protect the soil from invaders and animals, so that it can grow trees, which are going to make a forest eventually. We only see this little problem, and we want to focus on the problem and kill the problem instead of seeing it as part of this larger ecosystem, which it might be there to signal, oh, hey, there's imbalance here. You cut too much away, and now this weed needs to grow in order for you to thrive later on. So what's your relationship to it?
Mm, I love the gardening metaphor. That's great. Okay. There's a weed growing. You need to go do ayahuasca. Yeah.
It's like, no, maybe you just need to find out what that weed is all about and like take its medicine, which is might be forgiveness. Mm.
Yeah. Or non-attachment. It's like, oh, I just have a weed garden now.
Yeah, well, weeds are cool.
Weeds are just plants with bad marketing teams, right? Or wait, what's the joke? What's the difference between a flower and a weed? Marketing.
Right.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Okay, yeah. What do you got?
What do I got? Well, I feel like, speaking of hands, you were talking about your hands being all swollen. Was that in the last episode?
Yeah, last episode.
Recording two episodes at a time, people, in case that wasn't obvious if we're wearing the same clothes and whatever. So Kat was talking about last time her hands all swelling up in regards to a shape-shifting her practice experience. I've been speaking of transformation, I've been having this weird issue with my hands recently where for the last several months, and this has been me being very curious about what's going on with my hands, I've been having the, and I don't know if you can see on the video, and they're actually so much better now, but like my fingers from these knuckles down, just having a lot of inflammation and like having these red, like angry red spots on the backs of my fingers and bumps and like breaking open the skin. And I've tried lots and lots of things, you know, some different types of energy healing work and doing more hands-on healing and arnica and acupuncture and all the things, and talking to my hands and doing psychic surgery on my hands and looking at like, well, maybe is it, you know, weightlifting? And I was helping my brother carrying something heavy up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. And so I've gone through a lot of different doors around the, you know, this hand experience that I'm having. There were moments where my fingers were so swollen that I couldn't actually bend my fingers. I was addressing electrolytes and nutrition and all the things. And recently I have softened about it considerably, and I've practiced this curiosity about it and looked at like, okay, well, holistically within the ecosystem of my body and of my life, what's going on? What are some of the trends and the, you know, the traits that I'm noticing in my own energy body and in what's happening in my experience? And it has been really illuminating in terms of, you know, looking at kind of overheating the yang channels and holding too much of a certain type of frequency. And I think it's also related to this new energy that's coming through about dragon stuff and needing to be, you know, more intimately connected with the subtle aspects and energies that are wanting to come through and not muscle my way through transformation and, you know, holding really hard and having attachment and just all the things. So what I've been doing is I've actually been for the last maybe week or so, I've just been massaging my fingers with cacao butter every day. And it's helping a lot. It's helping a lot, but it's not just the cacao butter, right? Like that's not the thing that is, you know, having this transformational effect. It's the inquiry. And it's like Kat was talking about with the weed. It's like, okay, well, if this is the weed, if my fingers having this weird inflammation reaction is the weed, then how can I be curious about adjusting my energy body, about adjusting my sleep habits, about adjusting boundaries, about, you know, looking at how my energy body, my energetic anatomy is running and how I'm channeling different aspects through the different channels, how I'm investing in my wellness by, you know, getting regular body work and acupuncture, etc. And it's been prompting a lot of introspection and, you know, some at times very frustrating experiences of like, why can't I just bend my fingers? God damn it. You know, but, because of that, it's been just being able to be a lot softer and look at, it's not actually about my fingers. It never was about my fingers. It's about all of these other things that I had been kind of letting slip by or thinking that they were okay until my hands very loudly let me know that they were not okay. So again, this is sort of looking at like, what's our relationship to a symptom? How do we not confuse a symptom for just, you know, like I've had people ask me, oh, have you gone to see a dermatologist? Have you gone to see a blah, blah, blah? I'm like, they would give me steroids and whatever. Like they would put the Band-Aid thing, and that's not what is needed here. I don't need a Band-Aid. I need a sustainable, multi-layered ripple effect transformational experience that is ultimately about this much deeper shift in identity than it is just about my fingers.
I love that story because I love that it is seeing everything as an awakening towards transformation.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this thing that I want to get fixed, right? It's like, oh no, wait, this is inquiry. This is curiosity. This thing I want to fix is awakening me to transformation. It is signaling me the possibility. So how curious and interested and open can we be to it? How open can we be to this doorway that we get to go through in its uncomfortability? And it's, I wish it just would go away, and I hate it so much. And like, you probably might also have those experiences and like soften, like, wow, could I be softer around this? Could I open to it? Could I talk to it? Could I be curious about it? What is it inviting me toward? I love that so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much better. It's really, I mean, I don't know if video does it justice, but it's so, so much better than they were. Still not great. Working on it.
All right. Anything else?
There was a lot of stuff in there.
That's okay.
So I would actually invite people, practitioners, who are creating transformational experiences or who are advertising themselves as transformational practitioners, ask yourself, how do I measure transformation in my clients? What does that look like to be able to quantify transformation for my clients? And this is not listing the results that people get from working with you. This is not a marketing exercise. Because everyone's done those marketing exercises and like everyone wants to know what's the result that people, and that actually is a thing of like, what is the transformation that people experience from working with you? That is I guarantee people ask that as a marketing thing, but what you're writing is not actually a transformation. It's a result, which is different. But what is the nature of the door that people are walking through when they're walking into transformation with you? And what is the holistic ecosystem related experience that they're having that ripples through multiple layers of being that truly leads them to be a different person and live as this different, more activated, whatever aspect of themselves, version of themselves, not only within the container of your work together, because it's really easy to say while someone's working, and this is my other pet peeve about marketing, where like someone holds a transformational event and then they're asking people for videos and testimonies at the event. Of course they're going to say it's amazing because they're at the event and it's fun and they're activated and they're like stimulated and they're listening to like, pumped up music and they did yoga that morning and they're eating smoothies with their new friends and they have a billion ideas. Of course they're going to say it's amazing and it's transformational, but that is not transformation. That's the doorway. The actual transformation is a year down the road. Are they still holding the frequency that they were activated into during that experience with you? So it's really valuable to look at like, okay, your clients who you had a year ago, who are they now? What are they living as now? Like that's more indicative of transformation. Your apprentices who've been working with you for 5 years, who are they now versus how they started? That's transformation, not your client that you worked with for 90 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, speaking of that, I having that channeling apprenticeship call this weekend, and one of the people on the call, we're talking about sessions because she has only now started to do private sessions with people. And she's been in this program for over, 2 years. She's been working with me on channeling. Right. And it's only just now that she's like, I am doing these private sessions. And it was huge. I mean, what a huge, huge, huge piece. And because it has been a long road of a lot of transformation and integration and new identity and stepping into this and being willing to take this it's a huge risk to do this work. It's a huge, huge risk to be willing to do healing work with people or to channel or to coach or whatever it is. It's a huge risk. Personally, we feel, So it can take a long time to really step into things, as we've been saying. So yeah, it's over time, and everybody's right on time.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We've given you a lot to think about here. Go off and write and journal and think about your relationship to transformation and how you're showing up to create that experience or support that experience for yourself and for your people and how you are quantifying that. If you are interested in continuing to stay in touch with us, there are so many ways that you can find our material. We've got 114 other episodes up on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Please like, subscribe, leave us a review, a 5-star review or whatever, but 5 is great. And we will accept 4-star reviews and whatever you feel like giving us, that's fine. But know that this is part of our joy. This is part of how we support transformation in our community. And it's really important to us to keep making this work available. So please do share if there's any favorite episodes that you have and you're like, oh, I know someone who needs that, then go ahead and send them an episode and let us help those people too. So help us share the word, spread the word. And please, if you feel called to donate or become a patron of this work, we want these episodes to be free and it does cost us to produce this content. So if you feel like becoming a patron, you can do so at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/shamansistersessions. Or if you'd like to make a one-time donation via PayPal, you can send us money through PayPal to shamansistersessions@gmail.com. In terms of ways that you can keep in touch with us, you can find me on my website, joyofenergy.com. There's some dragon stuff going up there now as we speak. There's the Sapphire Dragon Lineage Initiation that is now after years of percolating and letting that transformation integrate into my field. Now there's space where I'm opening that up to one person per month. And so you can go ahead and apply for a Sapphire Dragon Lineage Initiation. It will knock your socks off, I promise. It's great. And then there are going to be some other dragon things up there shortly in terms of virtual ways to engage with dragon material. So please stay tuned. Check it out. Kat, how about you?
You can find me at katherinebird.com. My membership Heroes is ongoing. And I have other things happening, but right now I'm just focused on other things. Then all my programs are full and happening right now, but Heroes membership is an open piece if you want to come and train with me and be in community with other practitioners.
Great. Beautiful. Well, great work, everybody. Get transforming. We'll see you next time.
Bye.